Second Peter, chapter 1, the prize of the high calling is a very real and significant prize of a calling. And I believe everybody has a high calling. I mean, everybody, if you're called to walk with God, that's a pretty high call, to walk with God, talk with God, be with God, to be his son and daughter. That's a high call, and that's a mark. So 2 Peter, look at chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. There's an if in that passage. That means that you could fall. So the if is a big deal. If he said you'll never have to worry about falling, then, you know, under any circumstances, then it would be a completely different thought here. But the word says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Now, who gives the diligence? The preacher? The pastor? The teacher? The layperson? Who? Who gives the diligence? Whoever is reading this verse, it's talking to you. If your eyes are on this verse right now and you're a Christian, it's talking to you to give diligence. You are the one responsible to give diligence. You give diligence to make your calling. What is your calling? Most people have no clue what their calling is in the body of Christ. They have no idea. They don't know what God called them to be, don't know what God called them to do. I didn't know I was called to pastor a church. For years and years, I had no idea I was called to pastor. I knew I was called to God. But it was me who had to find out. God already knew. But I had to find out what my calling was. And I had to make it sure. It was my job to become unconsciously competent in my calling for God. To become unconsciously competent meant that I can do it easily without having to worry and struggle and fret about it. Anybody like to be there? I like to be there. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Here's a sobering one. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and the gifts and calling of God. They say calling of God are without repentance. In other words, you can't come along and say, okay, God, I know you called me and you gave me these gifts, but I don't particularly want to do them. And you can't do that. You can't repent. That's the one thing you can never repent of. And I don't believe God's going to repent of it either, because it makes it very clear that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Matthew 16. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, or I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say that just any church, the devil couldn't prevail against just any church. He's not talking about the church if it's not founded upon the rock. He's talking about the revelation that the church is built upon is what the devil can't prevail against. He's not talking about, oh, this is a, and I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the revelation that I'm going to give you, that God is going to give you, of who I am, that's the kind of revelation my church will be built upon. And that kind of revelation is what the devil can't do a thing with. That's what he's saying here. He can't do a thing with that revelation. He can't. And if you've got a body of believers who are absolutely rooted and grounded in this revelation that Peter says, devil ain't going to do nothing with you individually or collectively as a church. You'll understand where this is going. So your gifts and your calling then will be so rooted and grounded in that revelation as well. Your calling and your gifts will be rooted also in the revelation that the gates of hell can't stop it. The body will be so full of the word and the revelation of who Jesus is. And then he goes on, he says, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. See, the keys don't come until you know who he is. The keys to the kingdom. And when I talk about keys, I talk about lots of keys. I don't believe there's just one key that operates in your life. I believe there's many keys. And I don't want to go in that direction right now, but I know there are many, many keys. There's praise keys. There's intercession keys. There's confession keys. There's all kinds of keys in the kingdom. And God says, I'll give those to you. I will give you keys. There's gift keys. Keys that operate your gift. There's many things, many things. But then he says, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He didn't just say, well, if you want it. He's talking here very emphatically. He's talking very directly to Peter. And he's saying to Peter, you're the one that has this revelation. This is what I'm going to build my church on, who I am. And if you can, and whatever you bind, it'll be bound in heaven. Now, we know that there are things in heaven. We're not going to go up there and tell God how to order heaven. So what he's really saying is, if God has already ordained it to be true in heaven, you can ordain it to be true on earth. If you have the model of heaven and you have a revelation of what is already bound in heaven, like sickness and disease is not going into heaven, then you have the you can absolutely bind it here on earth. Whatever is bound there, and you know it's bound there, you can also bind it here. That's really what he's saying, told Peter. You have to have it by revelation, though. Remember the unconsciously competence. You're moving into a level of as a body of believers that you know your place, you know your rank, you know who you are, and you just don't get mad and out of joint and split churches. Because you're on a call, you're on a mission, you got a plan from God. And whatever you loose, whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, angels are loose in heaven. You can loose some angels here. But we first got to get a revelation of what is bound in heaven and what is loosed in heaven to understand what we're to do here on earth. We got an assignment while we're here. We got a calling. We got gifts to get the job done. You think gifts are just something you put like a mantelpiece? You think your gifts are just something you can set like a trophy and say, isn't that a pretty gift? Look how pretty that is. Don't got to polish it every day. Talk about your gift. Show it off once in a while. That gift is given to you to do something, to produce something in the kingdom. Glory to God. So Jesus said, I want to point out something very, very, very important in this one verse right here, chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said this, and he has really made this very, very real to me inside my spirit. He's let me know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I could be very intelligent, very influential, and I could go out and I could talk a bunch of people into coming in here and helping me build a church. I could be very charismatic. I could be very, very whatever. And go out there and just bring all kinds of people in here. Get them all on board. I could do it. I was building a business. I know how to market. I know the marketplace. I know how to do that. But God let me know, Teresa, this is what I'm building. Except I build the house. And though Jesus said these words before there ever was a body of Christ, Jesus had not died yet. Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. He hadn't taken the beating for sickness and disease yet. He hadn't went to the tomb yet. He hadn't gone to hell yet. He wasn't raised from the dead yet. He wasn't ascended yet. He hadn't revealed himself to his disciples yet. as being back alive from the dead. He didn't have the keys of death and hell in his hands yet. He had not ascended and seated at the right hand of the high priest of the new covenant yet. None of that had happened yet. But see, when God speaks something, it's as though it has already happened. When he said this, he said, this is what I'm going to do. And I'll guarantee you, he knew it was going to happen because he's God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Those just might be words to some folks reading them today, but I'm going to tell you, when I read that, I'll never forget the day God spoke those words to me. God himself showed up one afternoon in my living room and told me that. And he scolded me. He corrected me. I was in church and I was a little bit out of line at a service one time because I had so much zeal of God. I just jump right up and interrupt the preacher and start preaching and everything else. And the Lord said, no, no. If I tarry long, you need to know how to behave yourself in the house of God. There's order in the house of God. You know, I'm a baby Christian. Baby Christians God gives you lots of space to learn, to grow. I had to learn how to grow and learn how to obey God, and be obedient to God, and be sincere with God. I'm really not out to please anybody but him anyway. But if I tarry long, let me read this again. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know. And see, I didn't know. I mean, God gives us room to grow. The four stages of competency. You learn how to operate in the kingdom because the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And if your church you attend, if you're attending a church, and it's not the ground and the pillar of the truth, if they're preaching heresy, if they're preaching lies, if they're preaching wrong doctrine, if they're preaching, then it's not the true church of God. Because the church of God is the ground and the pillar of the truth. How much clearer can Jesus be than that? The church is his ground and pillar of the truth. That was how he sees it. That's the way he saw it when he spoke that to Matthew in chapter 16. He meant that he's going to build his church upon this kind of revelation, which is the ground and the pillar is who Jesus is. He's the head of the church and you're his body. Very sobering thought. That we are not an island to ourselves to do whatever we please. We have an assignment. If you're called by Jesus, you're a part of his body. You're a part of something called his church. And if we have problems in our daily lives, like I started to say a minute ago, I have a friend, and I got to thinking about this in days ago, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this particular friend. And he said, you know why they're having so much trouble? Because they don't want to submit and come into obedience into a body and find their position and their place in a body that I want them to be in. And the reason most people don't, God showed me this years ago, the most reason people do not come in and really hook into a body that God has called them to be a part of is because they have never been comfortable even in their own family. They've never been able to feel a part of anything. They're so broken and they're so rejected and they're so depressed that they can't come in and feel like they can connect to anybody because they don't want to connect to anybody. It's too hard to connect with people. They're rejected by their own family. They've been rejected by friends and situations and they just feel like nobody loves them, nobody cares, and it's really hard. That's where I was as a Christian. I would go into a church and I'd say, nobody here likes me. I look around, nobody cares about me here. These people, I was seeing people, see? And I was a people watcher. And somebody say one thing to me, oh, you're out the door. But see, I had to do an adjustment of my understanding that this is bigger than me. This call on my life and this place and position is bigger than me. It's a part of something bigger than I care about, understanding. at the time. I didn't understand the rejection I felt. I didn't understand why was I struggling so, because I was so broken. And God knew the very thing I needed to do was to be in a church to get unbroken, to find my place, to find my position, to find out who I was in Him. This is where you grow. The body is where you grow. That's why He said, forsake not the assembling. Because every time you come together as a body, you're helping each other grow. You're coming together, and the Holy Spirit, there's something called the individual anointing and the corporate anointing. And when you have people that come together in one mind and one accord, then it allows the Holy Spirit to work even greater than ever before. Especially if you come in oneness and understanding. He's the ground, and the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And that's you. That's me. That's you and me. That's you and me. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus says, everybody there? Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I've given you a bunch of sayings that you need to do, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. See, the revelation of who Jesus is what his church is built upon. And when you get hooked into that revelation, you're an individual now who has the revelation, and you're going to do according to his sayings. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. So much the more you see the day approaching. You're going to do these things because you want to be built upon that rock. And this is what he says, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I've had a lot of problems in my life. I've had a lot of attacks of the enemy, a lot of rain. I've seen a lot of floods. I've seen a lot of destruction. And I don't even like thinking about it. But I can tell you this, if it hadn't been for my desire to find my place in the body and do it, I did it. Whether I felt like it, wanted to do it or not, and I found my place, and I got busy and worked in the house of God, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I would still be out there drifting from church to church and hanging out here and hanging out there and going to church when I wanted to go and doing what I wanted to do. I couldn't have been rooted and grounded in truth. I wouldn't have known what it was to be established in the things of God. I wouldn't be walking in the revelation I am now. I can tell you that. Because this doesn't come just because you want it and you cry for it. You got to put some do to your life. You got to be obedient. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. It's about being obedient. This friend I talked about, till she finds her place and she's got callings and gifts, until she finds her church that she's supposed to work in and find the body that she's supposed to find her position in, she is not going to be fulfilled. She's not going to be able to develop her skills and her competency in the things of God. You can see them afar off, but she'll never get there on her own, because we need each other. The body of Christ need each other big time. When you don't do your job, it hurts everybody. When you don't fulfill your calling, it hurts everybody in the body that you've been assigned to and you've been called to. It's urgent in these last days that we find out where we belong. I can't stress that enough. I just can't stress that enough. And I tell people all the time, if you don't believe God wants you here, then you need to find out, where does God want you? It's urgent that you find out. I've never been able to drive more than an hour away. God wants me over there. Well, I'm driving 60 miles to get over there because I know that's where God wants me. Done it for years. In fact, it seems like what I've always had to do. For 35 years, I've had to drive an hour. That, I think, is why God has blessed me with living downstairs. You can't do anything for the body that you're not doing for Him. When you see how important the body is to Him, that the body is Him. When you see the body as being Jesus in the earth, and everything you obey Him and do for the body, it's doing it for Him. Because He died for that body. He died for this church. He died for His church, the ground and pillar of the truth. And you're a very integral, important part of it. You can't take it lightly. I don't take this lightly. I like having my prayers answered. I like having peace. I like living for God. I love living for God. Hebrews chapter 3. You have no idea how many church sermons and services I've been in. We'll just count it up. 365 days a year. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night or a Thursday night, depending on the church I was in. And for a lot of preaching. And I've had my toes stepped on many, many times. But there's something I have a revelation of. It's like if you want to take a bath, do you just think about getting in the shower? You just talk about getting in the shower? No, you actually get in the water. You get under the faucet and then you experience the water on you, don't you? The church is the only place on planet Earth where God has a hose out of heaven that will absolutely wash you and cleanse you and heal you. It's the only place you can go is the church that's connected to God. It's where His Spirit is moving. It's where He's ordained a preacher, a pastor, a minister to flow in the Holy Spirit to allow that anointing to minister to you personally. It's just you can't get this on TV. You can't get this kind of anointing and grace pouring out on you. Now, God can, but it's not the ordained way that He has ordained it to come to you and me. So if you want to take a shower, you get under the water. You want to take a bath and get cleaned up, you get under the faucet, don't you? That's the way it is with church. You get where God is moving, where God is pouring out, where God is flowing. And I've had my toes stepped on many times. And I never did feel like anybody really was being mean to me. I just needed to clean up, change, get some revelation. So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6 says, "But Christ has a son over His own house, whose house are we." That's as plain as it can be. But Christ, the anointed one, as a son over His own house, whose house are we. Are you a part of a house of God? Are you a part of a body? Do you know your assignment in the body? Do you know whether you're the doorkeeper? Do you know whether you're the dishwasher? Do you know whether you're the whatever? The prayer warrior? What's your position? What's your place? You're part of His house. You're part of His body. Whose house are we? And then it says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I believe that's the unconsciously competence. We are holding on. We're not holding on like by a thread, but we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are because we know that we can hold to this absolutely firm. I don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to go to hell. We ain't going to hell because we're together in this. We're together on earth working together. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are His workmanship. Who began the work? He's the author and He's the finisher of my faith, okay? He started a good work in me. He that began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit in me is working on me. He started working on me a long time ago, and He's still definitely working on me today. I'm His workmanship. He's got plans for my life. He's working on my selfishness. He's working on my old attitude. He's working on my rejection spirit attitude. The people don't love me. Nobody likes me. And I don't do this right. And I don't do that right. Nobody cares. All kinds of stuff we get to deal with. God's working on that. God's working on you. You're His workmanship. He's got you. He's got an investment in you. He died for you. He brought you out of darkness. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Peter says that you've not been purchased with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. And He's got a plan for you in His body. He's got a body for you to be in. He's got a body for you to work in. You're His workmanship in Christ. And He's got plans for us to do something. Not just look pretty when you come to church. There's a job to do. You're a part of each other's body. You're a part of each other's function. What if your leg just decided, I ain't working today. Let's hang out over here, leg. You just be hopping around like this. Sometimes our body is not functioning. The church isn't functioning because our body has parts of our body, the workmanship of God, has decided to take a break or decided to not come. Or they're too tired to come to church, or they got too much going on. You try driving. You try having to be clocked in at 7:30 in Lexington and live all the way in Springfield and have to drive all the way home from Lexington at 10 o'clock and have to get back up. As an hour's drive, I got home at 11, didn't get to bed till almost 12, had to turn around and get back up at 5 in the morning to get clocked in and dress, get the kids ready for school and get them all fed and get them all dressed and be back at work at 7:30 in Lexington again the next morning. Did it for years. But see, there's a level of commitment. I have something called motivation going on in me, because I understand, I have some revelation of how important being a part of a body is. It's more important than being in a job. It's more important than anything you'll ever do on this earth is your work for God. You being a part of your assigned place in the body is the most important thing you and I will ever do, ever. Ever. To see a soul come out of hell for eternity, that's a big deal. To see a leg grow, that's a big deal. To see an eyeball grow, that's a big deal. To see people raised from the dead, that's a big deal. And that's where God is trying to get the body to work together as a workmanship of God. To see someone deliver from alcohol addiction. To see somebody delivered of demons and possession. To see somebody set free from tragedies. I mean, all the things that life happens to people. And if we don't work together, one person isn't the whole show. We're a body working together. We are His workmanship, created under good works. We're all supposed to be walking in a revelation level of faith. Everybody. Not just the preacher. Everybody. Hallelujah. Whose house we are. Remember whose house we are. That's who I am. I belong to a body. I'm the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 5:20. Go to 29. 29 and 30. Let me tell you how Jesus loves His church. He died for this church. He died for this church. Let me tell you, He died for this church that He's building. He died for you, but He died for His church, which is people. People make the church, not a building. Church is people. He says in verse 29, "For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." I was reminded this morning of how He appeared to Peter and the other disciples, and He told Thomas, "He'd touch me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." He sees the body as members of His body. We're His workmanship. He's doing something. He's building His church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Oh, this excites me. Oh my goodness, this excites me. Look at verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God." We are laborers together with God. I tell you, I've been very stirred since the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was on my knees a few weeks ago and said, "Teresa, I want you to work as hard as you can work because you don't have much time left. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. No time to be a slacker. No time to not pray. No time to be too tired to pray. Too tired to go to church. Too tired to go serve God. Too tired to preach. Too tired to witness. Too tired of whatever. It's time to get serious about what is happening here in the earth." And he says, and look, let's go back and let's review a little bit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back to verse 6. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Just remember, we're a body. Just because you're looking at my body, if you cut my head off, if you were to take an axe and cut my head off right now and set my head over there, this body wouldn't have much use, would it? Couldn't do much with it without the head. That's why we have to understand that we have got to stay connected to Jesus in order for the church to do anything. We got to stay connected to the head, which is the Word of God, and we've got to allow it to come down out of the head into the body. And the body then has to respond to the brain nervous central system, right? If my brain tells me to move my hand, my hand automatically starts to move. If my brain tells me to walk, my body starts to walk. I don't tell, my body doesn't tell itself what to do. My brain, my head tells me what to do. Jesus is the head of his church. And he says here, we're one. You and I as believers, we're one in a body. You can't separate each other. You're a part of each other. And so he says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You're one, but you're all laboring. We're laborers together with God, right? So he says, for we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's that revelation again. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against that revelation. And it's really important that the body of Christ get that revelation, that it's him. It's who he says he is, that we operate and breathe and live and move and have our being. Paul said we live and breathe and move or have our being in him. No other foundation is there than Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, and hay, and stubble. In other words, you can pretty much do however you want to do. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Let's start with verse 15. This is the conversion of Paul, the apostle, the one who wrote most of the New Testament. Aren't you kind of glad that man took his job for God seriously? Aren't you kind of glad that man didn't shirk his responsibility and calling of God? Aren't you kind of glad he stepped up to the plate and obeyed God? Aren't you? I am. And look what he went through. But look what Jesus told Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul knew what he was going to go through for Jesus. He wasn't in the dark about it. He knew. God said, I'm going to show him. And he had to step up to the plate and say, yes, sir. Because the Lord is always faithful to show you the glory. Just the way Jesus saw the glory that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, for the glory that was set before him. He saw the good outcome of it all. I believe he saw it here as helped the body of Christ in the earth, and he saw what was going to happen in heaven. See, God is many multifaceted God. He doesn't see like we see. He thinks in eternity. He thinks in the realm of eternity. He sees from eternity's perspective. We have a very, very narrow little view of life. We have a very little narrow perspective. We see our little four walls and that's all. We see our little homes, our little families, and that's all we see. God sees the multitudes of people that you are going to win to the kingdom. He sees ahead how many lives that we can affect as a body. He already sees ahead the multitudes that are going to come into the kingdom, the people we're going to feed. I mean, I don't know what all God's going to do with this body, but I can tell you what, he's got a plan and he foresees ahead what great things we're going to do and what great things we may suffer as a body. But I tell you what, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all because also he also is going to show us, like he showed Paul, the glory, the good. I've seen the good. I know the good's here. Glory to God. First, we know Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear the word if somebody don't preach to them? And how are they going to preach if they accept they're sent? God sends preachers and teachers and adds gifts. I could talk about Ephesians, how he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. How he gave everybody a measure of faith and it's up to you to develop that faith. I could just talk about a lot of things here today. And God will promote you in your personal life. I always said, if you put the kingdom of God always promoted me in my professional life. And because he promotes those who promote him. You promote God, he'll promote you. He's made provision for me. Cannot just go on and talk about all the wonderful things he's done for me. But I'm telling you, I know God's word is the truth. Father, I just sealed this word today. And I thank you for it, God, and give us a revelation as an individual church and as a body of believers that we have an assignment and we have a call and we have a job to do, God. We're your workmanship, created into good works in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Promote this body. Bless the people here. Bless your children, God, in Jesus' name.